Morning, everyone. We're going to make a start just to our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 80 in your hymn book, the hymn number 80 in the page 208. Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed where the mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ, her little child. Hymn number 80 in the page 208, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. As we sing. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God, this day that we're able to gather together with Thy people in the house of God to praise Thee and to worship Thee, our God and our Father. And Father, we come to Thee today in no merit of our own, but Father, we approach Thee in and through the wondrous name of Thy Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem's manger, who come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, we thank that Christ came in the fullness of thy time. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that he was born in accordance with thy great plan and purpose of redemption for sinners. And Father, we thank thee, O God, that Christ lived a perfect life. Even as we've been singing, he is our pattern in life. We thank thee, O God, that he's left us an example, even that we should follow in his steps. Yet, O God, we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that he went to the cross of Calvary. And Father, we praise thee and we thank that there he suffered, there he bled and died in our guilty room instead, and that he rose again triumphant. It is alive forevermore. And Father, we thank thee that he's seated at thy right hand in heaven's glory, interceding for us. We thank thee for his merits, the precious blood that he shed, that blood that cleanseth us from all our sins. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the perfect righteousness of Christ, that we are accepted in the Beloved. And O God, as we come before thee this day, we thank thee and praise thee for mercies and blessings to us, each one, even throughout this year that is almost gone. We thank thee for every good and every perfect gift, every answer to prayer, every spiritual mercy and blessing, every token of the loving kindnesses of our God toward us. And Lord, we thank thee for ordering our steps and enabling us, Lord, to gather here in this fashion this morning in thy house. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless us, that thou will draw near. We pray for a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. We do pray, O God, for the outpouring of thy Spirit upon us. We thank that Christ is indeed the light of the world, that he is the one that has come to give light to the Gentiles. And we thank thee for his light. We thank thee for that everlasting light that is found in knowing and trusting Christ and serving Christ day by day. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for all who have been able to gather with us here today in your house. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God, we pray. Meet the need of every heart and of every life. Bless thy people, each one that is saved by thy grace in this meeting. Lead them on with thyself. Draw them closer, Lord, to thee. For any good true times of trial and difficulty, Lord, strengthen them by the mighty grace and power of God. Others maybe who might be, Lord, maybe wandering afar from thee, may they know that restoring touch of God in their life. And Lord, for any with us today not saved, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even today in this Christmas Day service, we pray that they might come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We think of those that cannot be with us today because of age, sickness, and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them and minister to them. We pray. Remember others from our congregation who may be off on holiday visiting with family members and friends and loved ones at this time of the year. Lord, bless them and encourage them by the grace and power of God. And for others who have suffered loss in recent times, we realize that this can be a very difficult time of the year for those that have lost loved ones. We pray that thou wilt draw near to them especially. Fill the vacant chair with the presence of God. Be their refuge, be their strength, and be their rock in this time of need, we pray. We do think especially, Lord, of the Beggs family today. Remember thy servant, the Reverend Beggs. Bless him, comfort him, strengthen him, and sustain him. And bless that entire family and family circle. We thank thee for every remembrance of his wife, and we pray that thou wilt even speak on through her testimony to family members and the members of that congregation in Ballymena, and you are still unsaved, and that they too might come and put their faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. Bless that family and minister to them in this great time of need, we ask. Bless our land, O God, today, we pray. Remember every faithful servant of God, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, may thy blessing be upon it. We thank thee for the sowing of thy word and many different places at this time of the year. And we thank the Lord that thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. Bless thy word and apply it to hearts by thy Spirit. as thou wouldst see the need. Remember, O God, our missionaries today at home and abroad. May your blessing be upon them, those that are far from home, and family and loved ones be near them especially. Strengthen them and encourage them, and bless them in their ministry, Lord, for thee. We do pray, Lord, for our king and royal family. Have mercy upon them. May the light of the gospel, the light of the truth of God's word, Lord, shine into that household, and have mercy, Lord, upon them, and draw those hearts out after thee, we pray. Those that rule in our land, we pray. Again, speak to them in mercy, Lord. Speak to them in grace. And may there be that turning in their hearts also unto the Lord our God, we pray. Just abide with us now, we pray. Remember us for good, even throughout this week, Lord, as we meet together with family members and friends and loved ones and all of our homes. May there be that gracious sense of the presence of the Lord. May we know the blessing of the Lord upon us. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near. And as people give gifts and, Lord, show their appreciation to friends and family and loved ones, we do pray, O God, that people would consider the greatest gift of all, and that they will come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and make room for him at this time of the year. Answer prayer, we ask of thee. Continue with us now, we pray. Do every heart much good, and glorify the Savior and all that will be said and done amongst us here today. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen. Now we're going to turn, please, in God's Word for our Bible reading this morning to the New Testament book of Luke. We're turning to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 2. And we're reading from verse 1 of the chapter, just going down to the verse number 14. And then we're turning back to the Old Testament prophecy of Micah, Micah and the chapter number 5. I want to read one verse from that chapter, it's the verse number 2. But reading first of all from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and then turning back to Micah chapter number 5. Let us hear God's Word as we read it together this morning. Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and the verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of Nazareth, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused child, being great, espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and led him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Then turning back to the Old Testament book of Micah, Micah chapter number 5, and just one verse from that chapter, it is the verse number 2. Micah 5 and the verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 2 of that chapter, praying the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading of God's eternal and infallible word. At this stage of our service, this Lord's Day, we bid you all a very warm word of welcome. Welcome you here today to our Christmas Day services. We pray the Lord will richly bless you today around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. If you're a believer in Christ, may you be strengthened and led on with the Lord. And if you know not Christ as Savior, we pray today that even this day you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. If you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship, and also for those who may be viewing online as well. We pray the Lord will bless you. We thank you for joining with us, and we pray the Lord will meet you at the point of your need through His Word and through His truth today. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. Encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer. And then the gospel service tonight at 7 p.m. We'll be along to bring God's Word. Pray for that meeting and plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. Do please note, in the forthcoming week, there'll be no midweek prayer meeting during the week. There'll be no midweek on Tuesday night. You'll get a nice holiday on Tuesday night. But do remember, Saturday night, the 31st of December, at 11 p.m. is our annual watch night service. We'll be here to take that meeting. It starts at 11 p.m. and then shortly over after 12 midnight. We trust as many as possible will gather as we come to give thanks to the Lord and just wait around His Word and look to the Lord for His help and blessing in the year that lies ahead. Next Lord's Day, the 1st of January in 2023, the services will be at the normal time of 12 noon in the morning, the evening gospel service at 7. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer, and God willing, we'll be along to bring God's Word. Do remember, our annual church week of prayer will be from Monday the 9th of January through to Thursday night the 12th of January at 8 p.m. Do keep that week free, put it in your diary. Plan to join with us for those seasons of prayer, and they'll just be for an hour each evening that week. We also, as a church, give thanks to the Lord for His goodness to Matthew Dunn and Anna May, his wife, and the birth of a little baby girl during the week. And we thank the Lord for His goodness and mercies to them and this little gift. And then also, as a church today, we express our sincere sympathy to our brother, the Reverend James Beggs, former minister of our church in Ballymena, on the sudden passing of his wife on Friday evening. We also express our sympathy to our moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong, and his wife Alison, who's also a daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Beggs, and share both these families and the wider family circle of our prayers and our sympathies at this time of loss and bereavement, that they'll know God's help and grace. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again in our hymn book to hymn number 75. Hymn number 75. We don't take up an offering, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. Hymn number 75 in the page 206. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where He lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Hymn number 75, we'll stand again as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. As we sing. that passage of Scripture we read earlier to the book of Micah, Micah chapter number 5. And with the Word of God open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for Thy Word and for Thy truth. And Lord, we thank Thee, O God, that Thy Word is a living Word. And Lord, we thank that You have promised that Thy Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that Thou would just bless and apply Thy Word today to our hearts. Lord, we come to Thee like those of old, and we would say, sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, that we would see Christ today from the sacred page. May we hear His voice saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. And Lord, through Thy Word today, may saints be blessed. May sinners be converted unto Thee. And may Christ be honored and glorified in all that will be said and done. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God, and give grace and help and enablement to proclaim the unsearchable riches of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen and amen. Our text for today is verse number 2 of Micah chapter number 5. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. Now Christmas, yes, is a time when many consider the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a person is to find the truth concerning the birth of Christ, then they must read the Word of God. They must go to the Scriptures. In the Gospel of John, Christ Himself was speaking on one occasion, and He said, search the Scriptures, they are they which testify of Me. Well, in our text here today, mention is made of the advent, the birth, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Here we have God Himself addressing ancient Israel through His prophet, through His servant Micah. And it says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Yes, Micah was God's messenger to ancient Israel. And he was given the task of declaring to Israel the solemn message of God's judgment. Yes, this judgment was all due to Israel's sin. However, in the midst of that solemn message, there is indeed, if you like, a tremendous ray of hope, a tremendous word of light for Israel. And that hope and that light is the promised Messiah, the coming of Christ into this world and His kingdom being advanced and being extended. In Luke's Gospel, He is described there, the Lord Jesus, as a light, the Bible says, to lighten the Gentiles. And my, this is the one that is mentioned here in our text. And here we read about the birth of Christ and His coming into this world. As we would then consider this verse this morning, there are three things I just want to set before you regarding this great event of the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ into this world. Notice first of all here with me the glory of Christ's birth, the glory of Christ's birth. Speaking of Christ, our text says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And there we see how Christ existed in eternity past before His birth at Bethlehem. Yes, you could say in the Gospel of John, before Abraham was, I am. Yes, Christ ever was, He ever is, and He ever shall be. Our text here speaks of his goings forth. And this speaks of how Christ Himself had previously manifested Himself upon this earth to certain of His people. And you see a number of examples of that given to us in the Old Testament.
You remember that occasion whenever the three Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace because of their faith. Old Nebuchadnezzar, he looked into the fiery furnace and he said these words. He says that there's four there, and the form of the fourth, he said, is like unto the Son of God. And that was a revelation of Christ in the Old Testament to the three Hebrew children in their time of need. You think also of that particular time whenever Joshua was going in to conquer the city of Jericho as the Israel were taking the land of Canaan. We read how the captain, it says, of the host of the Lord appeared unto him. And that captain was none other than an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there are other examples we could give to you from the Scriptures, but the thing to note is this, that whenever Christ appeared to the Old Testament saints, it was always in a time of great need. It was always in a time of great extremity in their lives. That really shows to us how the Lord, yes, is one who cares for His people. We read about the Lord in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says there, He careth for you. And my, whenever we think of His advent at Bethlehem, it is but further proof of His great love and His great care for us. You see, His birth at Bethlehem, it later led to His death upon the cross of Calvary. And on the cross, yes, He gave His life a ransom for many as our Redeemer. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. By His sacrifice He purchased salvation for us. And in Christ's death upon the cross, you and I, we see the wonderful manifestation of the love of God toward each one of us. Because the Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. O child of God, this morning, the glory of Christ's birth, it means that He came in love to be your Savior, to be your Redeemer. Turn in your Bible over to 1 John and the chapter number 4. 1 John and the chapter number 4, and you'll see this for yourself. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 10 and verse number 14 of that chapter. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and verse number 14, it says, Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son, notice it, to be the Savior of the world. Oh yes, when we think of the advent of Christ, we see the wonderful love of God toward us in sending His Son to be our Savior, as it says there, to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, the one who would take away, or if you like, stem the wrath of God that was upon us because of our sins. But then we can say further this morning that the glory of Christ's birth is further seen in the fact that His eternal existence, not only does His birth speak of his love and care for us, but His eternal existence, it tells of His deity. Our text says there in Micah chapter 5 and the verse number 2, it speaks of Christ. It says, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. That points to the deity of Christ. The hymn writer says, Hail the incarnate deity. In other words, Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And being God, the babe in Bethlehem was sinless. He was perfect. He was all-powerful. The Bible says He did no sin. The Bible says He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Christ Himself could say later on in His earthly ministry, all power is given unto Me. He was the almighty, eternal Son of God. Think of the great miracles that He performed here on earth. He touched the sick. He raised the dead. He stilled the storm. He turned the water into wine. He fed the multitude. It was all a token of his great power as the Son of God.
Here, whenever the prophet Micah speaks of him and says here in our text today, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Here he is exalting the person of Christ. The fact that he was God incarnate, the sinless Son of God, who is almighty and all-powerful. And people today, just as these words of Micah, just as they honor Christ's sinless nature, just as they would honor his almighty power, so believer, it's vital that you and I also, here in this life, here in this world, in this scene of time, that we also honor Christ. In this world of false religions, we must ever exalt the Lord. We must ever honor the Lord and magnify his name. Turn with me back to Psalm number 34. Psalm number 34. And look at what the psalmist there says about the Lord. And verse number 3 of Psalm 34, he says, O magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. That's what Micah is doing in our text when he says of Christ, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He's magnifying the Lord. He's exalting the Lord. Indeed, that's what you and I are to do also in our lives day by day. We must exalt and honor and magnify the Lord before others, before the world. And then also as his people, yes, we must ever honor and exalt the Lord by trusting in him. Trusting in his almighty power and witnessing of that very trust in our own times of need and times of difficulty and circumstances of life. Think again of what the psalmist could say about the Lord. He could say, my help is in the name of the Lord. My help is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. He was trusting in the Lord and he was honoring the Lord by that trust in his time of need. Yes, we see here the glory of Christ's birth in our text, but not only the glory of Christ's birth. Notice in the second place today, notice the place of Christ's birth. You look again at what is said in our text there in Micah chapter 5 and the verse number 2. It says, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands, yet out of thee shall he come forth. And here we are told that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And this is how it was. This is how it came to pass. Turn over to Luke's Gospel, to that other passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Luke's Gospel, and the chapter number 2. And there you see the fulfillment of these words, Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 7 of the chapter. It says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there you see that Christ was born in Bethlehem, all in accordance with God's word, God's truth that had been declared many years prior, even in the prophecy of Micah chapter 5, in the verse 2. And people, there's a wonderful lesson there for you and I in this. In all of this, we see the infallibility of Scripture. We see, yes, how it is important to depend upon Scripture and upon the Word of God. People, the Bible is a book that you and I can depend upon. There is none like it. It is a word that is forever true. And all that has been prophesied in Scripture concerning Christ will come to pass. All the Old Testament prophecies regarding his first advent, they have come to pass. They have taken place. And all those other prophecies and scriptures regarding his second advent, his second coming, each and every one of them will come to pass and will be fulfilled to the last letter. Christ himself says, heaven and earth shall pass away,
But my word shall not pass away. And friend, today you can depend upon the word of God. God's word is true. God's word is forever settled in heaven. How important then it is that you and I, that we read the scriptures, that we obey the scriptures, seek to live them out in our life. It has rightly been said by one of old that the Bible is like a bank. It is most helpful when open, and oh, that our Bibles would be open in our homes, and that our hearts in turn would be open to the scriptures, to the word of God and the truth of God. Because this is a word that you can depend upon. This is a word that you can rely upon. You'll notice also here from our text in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 that this place of Bethlehem is most significant. It is described there. Notice in our text it says, as little among the thousands. Bethlehem really was a small place, a small town in comparison with other towns and places in Judah. It was really counted to be insignificant by people at large. Yet the thing to note here is in this humble, lowly place, this place that was insignificant in the eyes of man, that Christ, the eternal Son of God, the King of glory, He chose to be born and to come forth into this world in His incarnation. And why this reminds us, yes, of how Christ will dwell among God's own despised people. One of the great titles of Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. He's come to dwell with His people, dwell among His people who are despised by the world and derided by the ungodly. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. And there the Lord has promised to draw near to his people. Yes, child of God, in the meeting this morning, you may be despised by the world. Yes, you may be counted as it were as one who is unimportant by man. But remember this, dear believer, the Lord says to you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Turn in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter number 43. Believer, look at what the Lord says to you here at the end of this verse. Isaiah 43 in the verse number 1. He says, fear thou not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Lord has promised to be with you, that you belong to Him. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Bethlehem was considered a place of naught, a place that was insignificant, a place that was unimportant as far as man was concerned. Yet Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Lord of glory, He chose to be born there. He acquainted that place of Bethlehem with His glorious, majestic, kingly presence. And child of God, the Lord has promised to be with you. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, even though despised and mocked and derided by the world and by the ungodly. Look again at our text. The name of Bethlehem also is very important when we consider the meaning of its name. What does the name Bethlehem mean? There's really a double meaning to this place of Bethlehem. It means the house of bread, but it also can be translated the house of war. And in the house of bread, it reminds us of Christ. Christ, who is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. And Christ, yes, he became the bread of life for us by dying for our sins upon the cross, and by His death, by His rising again, what did He do? He purchased everlasting life. He purchased abundant life for all His people. He says, I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And my, it's by trusting Him as Savior, yes, that we have pardon for all of our sins, that we have peace with God, that we have grace to live the Christian life, and we have before us everlasting life, eternal life, a home in heaven. Oh, let us thank God today for Christ, who is the bread of life,
the one who came into this world and gives us life, abundant life, eternal. But Bethlehem also means the house of war. And again, there's a thought there for us. It reminds us of that time when Christ will come back again to this world, the second time when he'll return to this world and he will judge this world for its sin. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, it says there, God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wrath hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The man spoken of there in that text is the man Christ Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem. Oh, dear unsaved friend, realize this in our meeting this morning. If you are to escape this judgment, if you are to be sure of heaven when Christ returns then, you must flee from the wrath to come. How by now in time you're repenting of your sins and putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone to be your Savior, to be your Redeemer. The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to a salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are to be saved on that day of judgment when Christ will come, Christ will put down all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. And now in time you must flee to Christ and put your faith and trust in him whom to know is life eternal. Yes, we see the glory of Christ's birth. We see the place of Christ's birth. Notice something else in our text this morning. Notice the purpose of Christ's birth. You look again at what you read about Christ there in the middle of verse number 2 of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, that he shall come forth, notice it, unto me. It says, that is to be ruler in Israel. Notice those words, ruler in Israel. And there you read of Christ, it says, coming to be ruler of Israel. By speaking of Christ, in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 2, the wise men asked this question. They asked the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? You know, members of royal households are born princes. They're not born kings, they're born princes. Later on, yes, they become kings or monarchs. But this was not so with Christ. My, he was king. The moment he was born, the moment he entered into this world, into the scene of time. And in coming to this world, Christ came to rule. He came to set up his kingdom and his rule in the hearts of men. And you see this in the life of the Apostle Paul. My, whenever he was saved, one of the first questions he asked the Lord was this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He acknowledges Christ as the Lord and the Master and as the King of his life. Again, you think of the words of doubting Thomas. Remember what he said of Christ in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 28. He says of Christ, my Lord and my God. With those words, he too was acknowledging Christ as the ruler, as the sovereign of his own life. Again, you think of the wise men from the east. Whenever they came to that place with their gifts to where the baby Jesus was, the Bible says this in Matthew 2, verse 11, they fell down and worshipped him. And by those actions, they were acknowledging his rule in their life. They were acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in their life. You remember the words of the hymn writer in that great hymn, Joy to the World, speaking of Christ. The hymn writer says these words of Christ. He rules the world with truth and grace. It says he has come to be ruler in Israel. Child of God, Christ came to this world not only to be our Savior and our Redeemer, but my, he also came to be our Lord. The Bible describes him as the Lord Jesus Christ. His glorious title in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 16, is King of Kings and,
and Lord of lords. You remember Mary Magdalene, how she met with the resurrected Christ in the early morning after the Lord had rose again. And how did she address the Lord? She referred to him as Rabboni, which is to say Master. She acknowledged him as the master of the life, of her life. O child of God, let me ask you the question today. And the question is this: is the Christ of Bethlehem your king today? Is the Christ of Bethlehem ruling and reigning on your heart? Oh, can you say with the hymn writer today of Christ, King of my life, I crown thee now. Is he ruler in your heart and life and soul day by day as his child? You know, dear believer, for him to rule in the throne of your heart, then, believer, you must yield to the Lord in your life. You must yield to his word in your life. You must yield to his will in your life. The Bible says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Child of God, to yield to the rule of Christ, it's the way of blessing. It's the way of God's good and perfect will for your life and my life. You remember again Mary, the mother of the baby Jesus. I mean, she was receiving news of how she was to carry the Christ child who was miraculously conceived in her womb by the Holy Ghost. The angel said to her, blessed art thou among women. Why was she blessed? Because upon receiving that tremendous news, she yielded to the Lord. She yielded to the Lord's word and will for her life. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, she said these words to the angel. She says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She described herself as the Lord's handmaid. In other words, the Lord's servant. And she says, be it unto me according to thy word. She was yielded to the Lord. Yielded to his word, yielded to his will for her life at that time. That is why the angel could address her personally and say to her, blessed art thou among women. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ in the meeting this morning, Father, follow her example. Yield to the Lord's word, yield to the Lord's will for your life, and God will bless you. God will use you for his honor, for his glory. He has come, yes, to be ruler in our lives. Salvation just isn't, as it were, a one-way ticket to heaven and we live and do as we please. No, it's about Christ's rule in our hearts and lives day by day as the people of God, walking with the Lord, obeying the Lord, doing his will, serving the Lord. Oh, child of God, may you yield to his rule, to his will, to his word for your life. Follow the example, yes, of Mary. God will bless you. God will use you. Maybe I'm speaking to a backslider today. Come back to the Lord. Confess your backslidings, your wanderings from the Lord. Ask the Lord for restoring grace. Yield afresh to his word, his will for your life. And God will bless you. And God will use you for his honor. And for his glory. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 78 in your hymn book. The hymn number 78 on the page 207. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streep shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Hymn number 78. We'll stand as we sing. I'm
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for that unspeakable gift of Thy Son. He who has come from everlasting and who is to everlasting, the one who came into this world as God manifest in the flesh. He came to be our Savior, came to be our Redeemer, our Ruler, the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. May it be so with all our hearts today. May Christ rule and reign upon the throne of our hearts. Day by day, as Your people, we ever say, not our will, but Thy will be done. Help us to obey Thee, to serve Thee, to live for Thee, until Christ comes or calls us home. And for any, Lord, in our gathering today not saved, oh, that today they would come in faith and in repentance unto Christ and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Bless Your word to this end. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us. Have Thy way in all our hearts and lives. For we do pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen.